Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Email her on refilwem@702.co.za.
My next guest is a regular, a friend of the show. Does she need an introduction? Well, she's a food anthropologist. She's an author. She is a chef. She is a food journalist. She is an amazing finder of hidden gems around Gauteng, anything and everything related to food. Anna Trepido will find it and will bring it to us on Weekend Breakfast and say, here guys, you need to try this. Good morning, Anna.
Hello.
I trust you're well in this cold. Staying safe.
It's quite something, isn't it? Yeah.
Interesting conversation that Clement Magnatella, my colleague, was having this yesterday on a show, asking if it was earlier on in the morning on Bongani's show, but Africa Milani was standing in for him, asking listeners about, you know, central heating. Should we have it in South Africa? And I think more than central heating, we just need, you know, insulation for our houses, so we're better equipped for the summer as well as the winter. Yeah, that double glazing would go a long way. You're a big fan of hot water bottles.
That I grew up in England, and so, you know, I understand places that have a significant long winter needing central heating. But, you know, really, every year we behave as though we've never heard of winter. You know, it comes as a surprise to people in Gauteng every year. And, you know, that our houses are not set up for it. And, you know, aren't we lucky to be inside and have houses?
You know,
really, this will be gone in 2 weeks' time. And anyway, it's almost invariably by 10 o'clock in the morning, you want to take your coat off. It's too hot. So, this is not a real winter, really.
Oh, come on, Anna Trepido, with your practicality. All right, let's talk what we came here to talk about, which is food, and some posh nosh. What have you got for us today?
Well, first of all, I've got to thank you, because Chefs with Compassion, lovely Chef Arnold Tanzer from Chefs with Compassion phoned me just saying, please say thank you, because they got so many donations for their 67,000 litres of soup project.
Lovely.
And a lot of those people specifically mentioned Weekend Breakfast. So he wanted to thank Weekend Breakfast listeners. So consider yourself thanked.
But lovely
if
stuff.
If people didn't get it together, they can still donate. Mm-hmm. But if you just go to www.cwc.org.za, you know, it's very simple from there to, do a good deed. So consider yourself thanked. Clearly, everybody rushed out and did good things. So
yeah,
thank you.
That's really heartwarming. Okay, very, very nice to hear. Thanks so much, Anna, for passing on the message. That's really, really lovely. But you also bring us some recipes this week, which you've already posted on your Instagram, if I'm not mistaken, Trepido Territory.
I put them on my Instagram because, you know, running around for a pen when you, like, are still in your pants first thing in the morning is not nice. So what these are two recipes for things that they're so simple that they're almost not recipes. They're just sort of chuck it together and be happy recipes. But that are ridiculously expensive in the shops. You know, these are things that you think, oh, these would add real kind of value to my life right now, but I'm not paying for that. So the two things are granola, so a really good granola, and pita bread, because I do not understand why it is that people say, you know, four pita breads, standard size pita breads, cost 37 rand, and that's pretty much across all the supermarkets.
Okay.
It's only bread.
So you don't understand, Anna, but you are a chef. Yes, you are a journalist. Could you perhaps give us some possible theories? Because, depending on where you're buying it and the kind of granola you do like, it is expensive. It's incredibly expensive for the tiny little packet that you get. And then, you know, you might be out there trying to sort of meet out and ration out whatever, you know, bits of packets of granola that you've been fortunate enough to buy. And as you say, pita bread is just bread. So what gives?
Look, with granola, good quality granola needs nuts and seeds. You know, that for one thing, most of the granola you find in supermarkets is just a big pile of oats. You know, you think, well, I've spent all this money and it's not even nice. That some, you know, in the supermarkets, you know, about 500 grams of granola will cost you about 100 rand. That in delis, I've seen it up to double that. But, you know, really, you know, these are, you know, good nuts are not cheap, but it can be done for less than a quarter of that. And the one that I've got actually comes from my book, Eating, which was written with Mpochi Kudu, who's a dietitian, who's very sort of stern about refined sugar.
Yeah.
So that the other thing about granola from the supermarket is it's full of sugar, usually. And so my granola has no sugar. It will cost you less than a quarter of the price of buying it in the supermarket, and it tastes much better.
All right, give it to us.
Okay, so, and again, it's very simple. This is not really a recipe, it's a sort of suggestion.
Sure.
Is that what my base recipe is, that I take 100 grams of oats, 150 grams of raw pecan nuts, and 150 grams of sunflower seeds, and 100 grams of almonds, and I mix those together. And again, this is on the Instagram. Nobody ran around looking for a pen. Then what I do is that I melt together 3 tablespoons of coconut oil and 10 milliliters, so that's 2 teaspoons, of cinnamon and 1 tablespoon of honey. So now you've got this lovely honey and coconut oil and cinnamon mixture.
Yeah.
And I mix that together and I throw that over the top of my nuts and seeds mixture. And because I like nachi zest such a lot, I grate in the zest of 1 nachi,
Ooh.
But that's completely optional.
Yeah.
So now you've mixed together your kind of wet ingredients and your dry ingredients. And I bake that in a low heat oven.
Mm-hmm.
For about 10 minutes. So about 160 degrees centigrade for about 10 minutes. But really, until it's golden and it smells lovely, then you take it out of the oven, you let it cool, and you eat it with lovely yogurt or mast curds or whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
And then what I do when I'm sort of feeling posh and what I, you know, at this point, obviously now, like, we have to tell Mpo to block her ears because this is where, like, the kind of low-carb, no-sugar thing goes out the window, is I like to chop bits of meatballs into my muesli. I sometimes, you know, those little sort of Cape Malay tamarind.
Yes.
That I sometimes chop those in, that if I'm flaked, coconut is nice. But if
that is always a treat, yeah.
Raisins in rum.
Mm.
So you've got these sort of fat, boozy raisins. If you chuck those in, that's also very delicious. But obviously then, you're sort of, I've made a low-carb muesli thing, a granola thing has fallen
that's
away.
That's completely out the window. Listen, any indulgence and treat that we can rustle up for ourselves, I think is more than welcome at this stage.
it's a way of playing sort of Ponzi brunch, but at home. You know, we none of us should be going outside and it's jolly cold. And, you know, that's a very nice granola that will allow you to feel a little bit posh without breaking the bank and without destroying your teeth.
All right. So now, please crack the pita bread code for us and how exactly we can get around those inflated prices.
Look, the thing about pita is it really is just bread. And if you think about those packets of pita that you get, the sort of standard ones that have between 4 and 6, sort of about 10 centimeter diameter pitas inside them, that, you know, you think, how are these being sold for so much? It is the equivalent of a quarter loaf of white bread at the absolute most in terms of the amount of bread that's in these things. And yet, you know, I looked on various supermarket websites, and they're all about the same, that 4 standard-sized pitas or 10 of those tiny little ones, cocktail ones, are going for about 38 rand. You know, so there's a serious markup. And, you know, there's really not a lot of skill in it. It's not that they're paying some kind of bread genius to. It's terribly simple. And this recipe comes from Joan Nathan, who is the sort of doyen of American Jewish cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just lovely. It's got, you know, a good pita, it's got a kind of elasticy, sort of chewy quality to the dough.
There is that element, absolutely, yeah.
And it's got that. So this recipe, again, it's on Atropino territory. You don't need to run around and find a pen. But here is what you do. You take a tablespoon of active dry yeast, which is essentially one of those little foil packets, mm-hmm. And you take a cup and a half of warm water and a tablespoon of honey. And you put those together. So you combine those three ingredients and you set it aside for 10 minutes for the yeast to just sort of gently start bubbling, which it will do. You know, it's cold, so, you know, give your yeast a little bit more time than it would usually take because sure. It's also struggling with the weather.
Sure.
And while that's happening, you put in a big bowl, you put 1.5 cups of whole wheat flour, 1.5 cups of white cake flour, mm-hmm. and a teaspoon of salt, and sure. You mix those together. And, you know, after your 10 minutes when your yeast has woken up, you combine the wet ingredients with the dry ingredients, and you knead that to form a kind of medium-firm dough. And mm-hmm. You really can't go wrong. If it's a bit firmer, it's a bit softer, it doesn't matter.
How many pieces does that yield?
Well, and just before we go on, you may need up to a cup more water, depending on the weather. You know, flour absorbs more or less. So, but add extra water slowly so that you don't end up with slop.
Mm.
All right. So this will yield at least 12 pitas. Obviously, it's depending on the size. But I make pita breads that are about 10 centimeters across in diameter.
Sure.
So what you're then going to do is you've made this dough. You do what you always do with dough. You let it rise. So in this weather, again, remember, the poor yeast is struggling with the cold. Usually, it will take you about an hour to double in size. May take a bit longer in this sort of weather. Once it's risen in size, then you knock it back and set your oven to 220 degrees C. So that's pretty hot. You know, you want a nice hot oven. You knock it back. You've now got your dough. You've beaten up your dough. You're going to divide it into 12 pieces because that will make you 12 big pita breads. Okay? You roll those 12 pieces into balls and you set them aside again for 10 minutes just to puff up slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take either a rolling pin or you can just do it with your hand if you like, but I like a rolling pin. And you roll out those little dough balls mm-hmm. into circles of dough. So you've got a circle now that is 10 centimeters in diameter, and it's about, you know, I mean, this is not, you know, you don't have to be precise, but I think about 1/4 centimeter thick.
Okay.
So you've got these flat discs that look like small pizza bases, basically.
Mm.
Then you put them on an oven tray. You don't grease the oven tray or anything. You put them on the oven tray, and you put them on the bottom shelf. So you can only do about 4 or 5 at a time, depending on how big your oven is, because there's only one bottom, obviously.
Yes,
okay, so you put them in the bottom shelf in the very hot oven, and they will puff up like kind of little puffer fish,
mm-hmm.
and they will be golden, and that will take, you know, Joan Nason's recipe says 5 minutes. I found it's more like about 8, but, you know, when they are golden, they are cooked. And you open the oven and you feel so clever because they look exactly like pita breads that you see in Arab cookbooks, and they are so delicious. And you have 12 pita bread for, I would say, probably about R3, you know, in terms of the ingredients. You know?
Genius genius stuff. And of course, that magical moment where you just cut into it and just, you know,
and
dip into that nice center there, and you just stuff in all your choice, your stuffings of choice.
Meatballs, yeah. Falafel, salads. You know, everything, even just sort of butter and Marmite is delicious in pita breads. You can shove them in the freezer, so, you know, you can always have pita breads. And, you know, certainly in my house, you know, children love pita bread because, like, putting things inside something else is such fun. And, you know, and you feel so mean saying, no, we're not going to have them, they're so expensive. And, you know, this is a very good, cheap way of getting them.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Anna Tropido, food anthropologist, author, and food critic. You can find those recipes on Tropido Territory on Instagram.